Esther the fox-like creature darted about the many bushes lining the pathway. The large purple gemstone centering its head glinted in the sunlight. Liz shook her frazzled brown hair and shot Kelsa a smile. I haven't been to the beach in ages. Maybe I could tan a bit. Nell, her summoned creature and partner in this world, frowned at her. You know we'll most likely be going to find another summoner there, right? You know, the ones who are supposed to kill each other. Liz bit her lip to stifle a laugh. It isn't a joke, Liz. You'll get us both killed. In less than a second, the group stopped as a new mahogany and silver lever-action rifle was pointed dead center of Nell's forehead. I'm the only thing anyone should be afraid of. A brief moment passed, and Liz slung it back onto her back in a smooth and practiced motion. Black, a walking cowboy trope, pawed his chin and looked after the freckled beauty.
Have seen a woman like that in a long time, Mira.
He muttered under his breath. Kelsa shook her head and continued walking along with her friend. I could definitely use the sunlight as well.
Looks like we've got some company,
Black said, nodding off into the distance. A horse-drawn wagon could just barely be seen on the horizon.
I'm not mistaken, the town is coming from that direction. Reckon we could ask for information.
Probably best to keep my summon nearby. Esther, come here. Before the rest of the words could come out, a familiar tail swung in front of Kelsa's face. Hi, what do you need? Kelsa was shocked. She hadn't noticed added weight on her head. Why don't you stay close by just in case we have trouble? But I want to explore some more, it pouted. Well, if I die, you won't have the chance to. Kelsa blew on the bushy tail and it went right back to resting on her face. Oh, don't worry about that. And she felt a warm, soothing sensation overwhelm her. After a moment, she felt as if she had had the best sleep of her life. The pain in her feet from hours of walking subsided. The creature then appeared directly in front of her. I'll always be there if you need me, because, well, we're partners. Esther darted off into the bushes again.
Energetic one, ain't he?
Black said, tying a red bandana over his face. Why are you putting that on? Liz said, looking back at him.
Most folks are put off by the scar.
Black had a cut exposing some of his teeth on the side of his face. From what they were told, it was a mark given to him to remind him of the deaths of his daughter, and not too long after his wife. He let out a sigh and readjusted his own lever action on his back. It wasn't long before the cart came into sight. It had a chestnut and a piebald horse pulling it along. The driver was a long-nosed man with warts and boils covering his features. Kelsa frowned as she got a closer look. It wasn't a pleasant sight by any means. The cart was filled with a plethora of people of all shapes and varieties.
Hell, stranger, you riding from Port Maya?
Black said while lifting his right hand in the air in a friendly gesture. Bristol, actually. We were going to stop into Maya to rest, but something isn't quite right there. People have been coming back from the dead, and that sounds like another one of those crazy summoner lunatics that have been popping up everywhere. The man gave Nell a suspicious glance.
Reckon you met one of them in Bristol, then?
Black adjusted his hat. Took all these good folks' homes, I'm afraid. Real muscular guy with a stone golem. Kelsa thought back to their first attacker.
You might be in luck, friend. We killed a fella just like that a few days ago.
The wart-faced man looked down a moment. Don't know if I'd call it lucky, but I'm happy to know these people will have some justice. Anyway, we're heading to the north to see about taking refuge in the city. Good luck to you. And be careful if you're going to Maya. The summoners aren't the type to trifle with. The cart continued past them when a woman in a cart let out a scream. A small girl wandered up to Nell and was now pulling on his garb. Sheepy! Sheepy! Nell made a sneer at Liz, who was laughing at him.
I am Nell, son of Morag and Dark Prince of Borum. I am not a sheep, mortal child.
Sheepy! Sheepy! Kelsa couldn't help but stifle a small laugh as the child continued calling Nell a sheep. A tall woman with pointed ears and long raven hair jumped from the cart and ran over to retrieve the child. She looked at Nell with what seemed like a mixture of fear and disgust. Come, Esmeralda. She pulled the child away and told the driver to go on as she loaded her into the cart. It took off, but the woman didn't get back on as the cart started. The woman turned and her small mouth elongated, the majority of the lower half of her face now stretching almost to her ears. Two rows of sharp teeth smiled back at the group. The young girl who had been harassing Nell came running back down the pathway and then ran up beside Liz before a large explosion was heard. The sound was almost deafening and caused most of them to flinch in reaction. The road was quickly desecrated with bits of flesh and wood.
It's a shame he's already dead. I thought up 100 ways to kill him once we found him again.
Her face twisted to a frown. Guess I'll have to make do. Solaria. She looked over to the little girl who began to glow a bright white color. There wasn't much time to react, and Kelsa quickly tried to shove Liz from next to her, but was too late as a deafening explosion blinded them and left their heads spinning. Kelsa found herself floating in darkness, but could make out someone calling her name in the distance. It seemed so far away, but grew louder the harder she listened to it. Kelsa, get up, hurry! It was Esther who was standing in front of her, the gem embedded in its head glowing magnificently and producing what appeared to be a wall of purplish light in front of them. Turning her head, she saw that Liz was unconscious, Nell standing directly over her, assessing her condition. Black was leaning against a tree, his face down, a wagon spoke sticking from his side. Kelsa quickly looked back for the woman, but there was nothing save the settling dust. She could feel her heart pounding in her own chest. Esther, check on the other two. Kelsa reached down and picked up a small blade that was mixed into some of the debris. Luck seemed to be on their side. How could they have been so dense as to let the enemy get so close? A humming sound was heard from the direction of Black as the woman walked around the side of the tree and pressed her foot into the man's groin and said the word, Solaria. There was a small flinch from the body as she continued humming. The little girl ran around the other side and now wore a very similar ear-to-ear smile.
Come play with me.
It started to glow the bright white color, and Kelsa knew they were done for if it went off again. The woman started walking away when a hand wrapped around her ankle so deep that her pale skin quickly grew purple.
I don't fucking think so.
She started kicking at Black's arm, but he quickly yanked her foot out from beneath her.
Let me go, you bastard.
She kicked back at him while trying to crawl forward. Nell was sinking into the ground, a black abyss surrounding both himself and Liz, and Esther quickly ran in front of Kelsa. They were prepared, but the force of the explosion still sent them rolling a few feet away. Esther clambered back to his feet and appeared on top of Kelsa's back and began emanating that same warm glow. Again, her broken body felt relief as the scrapes and cuts began healing over. The aches that enveloped her entire body subsided and she felt invigorated.
I hope you're all right,
Esther said weakly, and then collapsed to the ground. Kelsa scooped him up and looked around. Everything happened so quickly. She looked over to the large crater where she last saw Black, an unlikely ally, a summoner hunter. She began to see why everyone disliked them. Killing without any real reason, the wanton and overwhelming strength they all seemed to have. She couldn't help but wonder if she belonged in such a place. A ringing sensation clouded her hearing, and she felt faint for a moment, but managed to steady herself. A portal appeared beside her. Nell and Liz had returned. Nell stood over her unconscious form before turning to look at her.
You're all likely to get me killed.
Kelsa frowned back at the creature.
I thought you creatures could sense one another. You look just as surprised as me.
Nell sneered at her with his sharp teeth and then spat at the ground. She could see in his face that he knew she was right. And that probably bothered him more than the embarrassment they had all suffered.
We need to find a spot to rest for a moment. Can you carry her, Nell?
He gave her a disapproving look and then snapped his fingers, producing a tentacle that lifted her into the air. They veered off the path a bit and settled into a small clearing in the nearby forest. Kelsa's stomach began talking to her.
Weak.
Nell started, before his stomach reciprocated the same, and he felt ashamed. He stood up and walked into the woods without another word.
Where are you going? Kelsa started,
looking down at the two unconscious forms surrounding her.
To get us all something to eat, human filth.
He trudged off and left her alone in a world full of overwhelmingly powerful creatures and people. She added a piece of broken wagon wheel to the fire they had started. Rustling in a nearby bush brought her to her feet. She quickly grabbed the rifle next to Liz and raised it. A small rabbit hopped through and scuttled off in the other direction. As she lowered the rifle, the slender woman from earlier lunged at her and tried wrestling the rifle out of her hands.
What the hell? How are you still alive?
The woman grunted as they went back and forth to secure the rifle. She was looking the worse for wear. She had a single piece of torn cloth covering her breasts, and the bottom half of her dress was in tatters. She managed to roll on top of Kelsa and leaned all of her weight into pressing the rifle up into her neck. Kelsa screamed as she tried to push back, but was hopelessly pinned beneath the woman, the rifle now beginning to cut off her air supply. The sensation lifted as a tentacle wrapped around the woman's ankle and whipped her into the air before dangling her above the small fire, just enough that her hair began to smolder.
Vengeance is sweet. I'm going to have all kinds of fun with you.
She was screaming as the fire began to lick at her scalp. Solaria! She squirted out, but nothing happened.
Your little friend is already gone, I'm afraid. But don't worry, you'll be joining her soon in my dungeon.
But first, a second tentacle rose from the ground and wrapped around the woman's neck. She was then inverted and pulled partially through a black portal. Nell stepped over and traced her forehead with his taloned finger, drawing a line of blood against her muddied pale skin. She tried to scream, but her airway had been completely closed off. Nell forced open her mouth and speared her tongue between two of his fingers. He cut through it with his opposite hand, and she was pulled through the portal into the dark abyss beneath it. Nell looked over at Kelsa and smiled.
Clean yourself up. Oh, and here.
He snapped his fingers, and a small, familiar-looking leg fell from the portal that opened in front of her. Kelsa looked in disgust, but Nell had already disappeared. Between hunger and the many attempts on her life that day, Kelsa found herself tossing and turning through the bitter cold night. She knew none of this would be a cakewalk the second the warden mentioned the idea of pardoning the worst of society had to offer. She was a murderer among serial killers and rapists. At least she was probably better off than that klepto from the briefing. Morning finally came, and she felt more exhausted than ever. Looking around, she saw that Liz had begun to stir, her arms raised high above her head and a large yawn. Morning. She looked over to Kelsa, who was sitting next to her rifle.
Morning, Liz. We had one hell of a day yesterday. You feeling all right?
Actually, I feel like a truck hit me. I remember a flashing light, and then, well, here I am.
Liz put a hand up to her head as if contemplating the events that happened. That little girl that was harassing Nell was a summon. Liz gave a look at Kelsa that said she didn't believe her. Kelsa picked up the gift from Nell and tossed it over on top of Liz.
Ow! What was...
Liz stopped a moment and then kicked to the ground with the leg that was tossed to her.
Like I was saying, she was a summon, and her supposed mother was the trigger to the bomb. We only survived the first blast because of Esther.
Kelsa picked up the unconscious fox form and stroked its back. The second time Nell got you to safety, but Black was caught directly in it. Liz looked around.
Speaking of, where is Nell?
Kelsa scowled.
We thought that woman was dead, but she attacked me while we tried to camp. Nell had gone hunting and I was completely vulnerable.
Luckily, he made it back in time and took himself a souvenir back to wherever he goes.
Liz smiled. I'm sure he'll be back eventually.
The creature nestled in Kelsa's lap started to purr as she continued stroking its back.
That feels wonderful, it said with pleasure in its voice. We owe you our lives, Esther. Thank you.
He looked at her and gave a fox-faced smile. Liz stood up and walked over, grabbing her rifle and slinging it back onto her back.
Black's gone, huh? Too bad. He seemed pretty fun under all that dark and gloomy stuff.
Esther hopped from Kelsa's lap and arched its back in a stretch before darting off.
As energetic as ever, Kelsa thought.
They made their way back to the road, and just before starting down it, Liz put up a hand.
One second.
She said, running back over to one of the large craters, she climbed back out of it with a broken rifle, a piece of red neckerchief, and a partially burnt leather hat. She fashioned them into a makeshift shrine under one of the trees and clasped her hands together for a moment, before turning back and running towards her.
Kelsa stared off at the memorial and felt solace as the red fabric danced through the air.
Come on, let's get to Maya. I need to eat something. The three of them continued down the path, and after another hour, Kelsa could smell traces of salt in the air. The port city rested on the horizon. A bright sun beat down upon it and a vast ocean of blue just beyond it.
The city actually seemed lively as they stepped into its seastone-paved streets. Food vendors barked and children ran about the streets.
A strange creature, a cross between a dog and a weasel, Kelsa thought, walked past them, sticking a long forked tongue in their direction before continuing on.
We can probably eat that, Liz said, pulling the rifle from her back.
Kelsa quickly placed a hand on it. Best we wait. Maybe we can find a restaurant or something. Liz looked disappointed as the creature took off in a slow sprint to get away. Its legs weren't quite long enough to support its mass, and despite running for its life, it didn't have much speed behind it. A portal opened up beside them, and Nell rose from the ground beside Liz and gave them all a nod. Kelsa felt the eyes of every townsperson in sight on them at that moment.
We might have a problem, she said.
A little girl ran up, and Nell instinctively jumped back, readying himself for combat.
It's another miracle!
It only took a few moments for a small crowd to gather, and an older man limped forward with a cane keeping him steady.
Another summoner.
We're very happy to have you in our city. The city where the dead can live again.
He gestured behind him where the townsfolk began clapping and the festivities commenced. They were practically carried off to the town hall where plates and plates of food were laid in front of them. They didn't care that all of the dishes looked exotic. Hunger blinded each and they voraciously tore into the banquet. Drinks were passed freely and the party carried into the next day, where the town hall was littered with townspeople.
These people really know how to party, Kelsa said,
rubbing her head. Just as she said this, a man dressed in a black flowing coat with a plague doctor mask stepped through the door.
New guests, I assume. Ah, and summoners no less, he said, looking over at Nell and the fox creature. I take it you're enjoying yourselves in my fair city.
He raised a hand and a purplish glow enveloped it. The old man with the cane before leapt up from a floor pillow and walked over as if he were a spry young man.
Be so kind as to give our guests a room, would you, Elda?
And with that, the glow left his hand and the man collapsed to the floor and began moaning in pain, his eyes still closed. The cloaked man turned and walked back into the streets where he disappeared. Nail closed the one eye he had on the situation and drifted back to sleep. While Kelsa walked over to the old man, he began to stir.
Would you hand me my cane, young lady? I'm not sure where I left it. That must have been quite some drink.
Kelsa found the cane partially underneath Liz, who was hanging halfway off of a table, snoring loudly.
Come on, Liz, get up.
Her snoring stopped, and she sat up with sleep still plaguing her face. The cane was returned to the old man, who thanked them kindly.
I imagine you folks wouldn't mind a room to freshen up and rest, should you choose to stay longer.
He motioned and asked them to follow. Esther was up at this point and was digging into some of the meat left over from the night before, Liz close beside him.
Come on, you two.
She could still smell the singed hair and sweat from the rough past few days they had. Liz reluctantly got up, her cheeks stuffed on both ends and a flagon in her other hand. Esther hopped down beside her and the three of them went out the door. They were led to a large three-story building and given a key to the top floor. The city had running water and eagerly they ran a bath. Fresh linen had been laid out and the clothing that was surprisingly similar to their original outfits had also been laid on the beds. Liz came out of the bathroom without her towel and Kelsa let out a sigh, grabbing her own linen and heading in to wash the accumulated filth off of her. She dragged Esther in, who was pleading not to be washed. He tried to jump, but was caught out of the air and pulled back into her arms.
Oh no, friend, you're getting a bath.
The warm water was ecstasy on her skin, and after a change of clothes, she felt 100 times better. She walked out to a half-clothed Liz reading a letter.
Looks like Claude wants to meet us for lunch.
He says to bring our friends. Liz looked up for a moment and then remembered they had left Nell. Whoops! There was a knock on the door, and Kelsa gave Liz a look to finish dressing. They opened the door to a familiar face.
Hey.
Nell was standing in front of the door, the old man beside him.
I'm afraid he doesn't hold his liquor very well.
He stumbled in and went face first into the carpet before throwing up a black substance. Liz dragged him over to her bed and cared for him.
So, Elder, Kelsa said, trying her best to ignore the situation, could you tell us a bit more about this Claude guy?
His eyes flashed a purplish color.
I'm afraid not. He's a bit mysterious, but we owe him our very lives.
The man's face made an uncanny grin. Kelsa closed the door in his face.
Okay, then. We probably should be worried about all of this. I saw that guy use some kind of magic to make the Elder move without his cane this morning, and I feel like he's controlling him somehow.
Liz was wiping some of the remnants of Nell's stomach contents off of his face. Everyone seems nice to me! She turned and smiled at her. Kelsa picked up the letter and started reading aloud.
I, Claude Van Claus II, do cordially invite you to join me at the Ocean Vivarium. My servant will escort you when ready. Bring your appetites.
What do you think, Esther?
Esther scowled at Kelsa, his fur still clinging to his sides.
Sounds like fun.
It almost sounded more like a pout. She picked him up in a towel and threaded him for a minute.
Sorry.
All right, Liz, you ready for this? She grabbed her rifle and restrung her bandolier.
I'm always ready to eat.
They stepped out and were met with the Elder, who still had a grin on his face, but this time his pupils were set in that purplish color.
If you'd follow me.
They were led through town, where everyone raised a hand or a glass to greet them. Before long, they were standing in front of a large building, the aroma of foods hanging thick in the air.
Right this way, the elder said, gesturing them inside.
There were many tables and chairs packed with people and hostesses bouncing from each as they carried out their trade. They were motioned towards a corner of the room where an escalator led down. It was lit with many different colors and had a high-quality theme park kind of appeal to it. They were ushered onto it, and as they reached the bottom, their jaws were practically to the ground. The walls had given way to glass, and they were standing under the ocean. Many corals and intricate fish swam about, and a lone table set the center of the room. The very same cloaked man Kelsa had seen earlier sat at the table, along with a familiar fat guy in a brown trench coat, staring off into the vivarium. Esther quickly took off and looked out at the many exotic life forms around them.
"Please, have a seat," the cloaked man said, gesturing with his hand. They did so and admired the spread before them. Every dish looked elegant and incredibly expensive. "The caviar is delightful. Do try so."
The man lifted a spoonful of black eggs to his mask, and they watched in horror as it split and sharp teeth bit into it, scraping the metal of the spoon.
"I find this whole game beneath me, honestly. Why fight when I can live like a god?"
He snapped his fingers and an attractive woman with deep purple eyes walked over with a goblet of black liquid. He raised the goblet to his mouth and savored the taste.
Are you controlling these people?" Kelsa said, her eyes glued to the masked man. "Perceptive of you. Indeed, they do all belong to me. I assure you, though, they have their freedoms."
Livs was too busy stuffing her face to acknowledge any of the conversation, but Kelsa almost couldn't believe what this guy was saying.
"And what are you doing here?" Kelsa looked over to the large man who speared a potato and paid her no attention.
"I'm talking to you." He looked up, set down his fork, and pulled out his small notepad before starting to scribble something. She sighed and looked back at Claude, the masked dictator of Maya. She watched as he raised a cut of creme brulee upward, and again the mask opened to a large mouth that scraped it from the utensil.
"Freedom is a bit of a stretch when everyone is at your beck and call, wouldn't you say?"
The man snapped his fingers, and the woman went to her knees under the cloth table.
"I have a proposition for you. Stay here and guard my dominion, and I will ensure that you survive this little game, and without controlling you. No tricks, no gimmicks."
The leather mask twisted into a smile.
Dear listeners, I hope you're enjoying the story. Your choice will prove paramount to the progression of the story. Mr. Claude Van Klaus has invited Liz and Kelsa to stay in Maya, the port city, and become guardians. In exchange, he will help them survive the horroring game they are in. Option 1. Should they accept the offer? Surely such a powerful being would be able to provide protection, but can they really trust him? Option 2. It's time to butcher this pig and bring down this hedonistic utopia. Option 3. Maybe they should accept his offer, with the intent of stabbing him in the back. No one is sure what the full power of this guy is. Let's write a story. Let's play a game without the dice.